I am so happy to be here this morning. I don't think I've ever seen so many people in the room as today. I'm so excited for what God is doing in this house. It's just phenomenal. I loved what Autumn was sharing, and I know she and Ezra were with the youth. It's so powerful. God's moving in such a miraculous way. So I'm just so glad. Thank you for inviting me to come again today. I just really consider it such a privilege. It's such an honor to be here. Number one, I love Pastors Mark and Ellie. I think they're amazing. I feel like it was such a divine connection when we had met. But you know, I love this exchange family as well. And it's so funny. The longer I come here, the more I think this is my family. I mean, of course, Rachel is my daughter, but just throughout, there's like dear friends who I've known for decades. There's family members. There's people who I've met in these last few years, and so it is really such a privilege to be here because I'm so excited for all that God is doing, and I just see it all unfolding right before our eyes. You know, last time I was here in July, I brought a word about the judge named Ehud. I don't know how many people were there then, but it was all about the importance of the word of God in our lives. It's such a critical hour that we're in. The more that the Holy Spirit moves in our midst, the deeper our foundation must go. And so we talked a bit about standing on a strong foundation. You know, today what I want to do is I want to talk about the importance of prayer. Okay, so last time it was the word, this time is prayer, because this is an hour of equipping God's people to really take hold of everything that God has. You know, I love listening to Pastor Mark and Pastor Ellie as they begin to describe all of their vision for what the Lord wants to do in this area. It's huge. It's giant. But I want you to know that as the people, we need to be equipped to handle it. You know, many times I think, wow, you know, the day of Pentecost, you know, the Holy Spirit moves and all of a sudden 5,000 people get saved. You know, are we ready for what God wants to do in this hour? I think that we're in a season where he's about to do something so extraordinary that he's saying you must be equipped that you can be able to handle the revival, the harvest that is upon us. And so the word of God and prayer are vital in order to be able to do that. That we can't do what God has in mind for us without those two elements in our lives. And so the message that I'm bringing today is really designed for those people and for those congregations, but us as individuals as well, who really desire to birth kingdom purpose in your life, that you really have a vision and you ask yourself, well, how am I going to be able to do that in this season? And so I'm calling today's message, because you know me already, you know I always have to have a prophetic title, and so today's title is Birthing Samuel, and so I'm going to be speaking out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for the anointed worship today, Lord God. Lord, it was just exactly what I'm going to be speaking on. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for that which you've already done, Lord, that which you've prepared our hearts for. And Lord, I just pray for each person here, Lord, that our eyes would be open, that you begin to reveal just even all that you would have for us in this next season, oh God. Lord, that this would be a time where we're stirred up to arise and take hold of everything that you have for us in this season. Lord, bless each one here today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you might think that Rachel and I, we live a couple hours away from here, and we live about a block away from each other, that we would have talked about, well, here's what I'm going to preach, and she'd say, well, okay, I'll get all the songs to line up. No, We didn't do any of that. She has no idea what I'm going to preach today. And so I just so appreciate the moving of the Holy Spirit, because I do believe that there is no other name like his name. There is no power like the name of Jesus. He does cause dry bones to come together and live again. He does call forth from the grave. I mean, as soon as she sang that song, I thought, well, let's just sing that song the whole day. Like, that was so powerful, and I love it. But I just believe the Lord would have me continue in that vein regarding how to bring forth what looks to be impossible. So let's begin. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 1, it says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite." You know, we shouldn't just run over this verse. I mean, do you ever find yourself doing that? It's like, whoa, that's a lot of names. That's a lot of things. I'm not going to go into all the names. But I want you to know that there's great spiritual meaning inside this verse. And I believe without this verse, we can't fully comprehend what's going to come next. Ramathaim Zophim means double height of the watchman. You see, the Lord would have, I believe, each one of us in this season to stand tall. This isn't the time. I loved what was up there on the screen as Pastor Ellie was talking. In fact, no, it's not still up there, but it was the jars. Fill them with dirt. Pray over them. Begin to see all that God wants to do. Because why? He wants us standing tall. We're the head and not the tail. We're not like, oh, victims of the enemy. No, that is not the situation. He wants us to take ground. He wants us to take hold of everything that he would have. So here's this certain man, and he comes from this place called Double Height of the Watchman. You see, a watchman in the scripture really speaks to us of a person of prayer. God wants us to stand strong in this season in prayer, being those who have eyes to see what God is doing and begin to declare it in prayer. Well, not only does he come from that place, but it's in the mountains of Ephraim. Well, Ephraim, the name means doubly fruitful. I mean, don't you love how the scriptures are? That's a lot of doubles. It's like double, double, double. You know, everything's a double. Well, double throughout the scripture speaks to us of the portion that God wants to give us. I'm just laying a foundation here, and then we're going to see what happens. You see, the Lord doesn't want to give us just a normal portion. He doesn't want us satisfied with just, well, you know, I got saved. You know, actually, and I love, it seems like I always preach this last week of October here at Exchange. I got saved on Halloween. So it is always a memory to me of all that God has done. You see, we don't just get saved to sit around. Like, let's just wait till we get to heaven where the real action is. No, he's saying, I've got something for you to do here, and it's not just going to be a ho-hum life. I mean, I don't know how many people here would like say, yeah, what I really want in my life is a ho-hum life. I'm just like, yeah, let's just have nothing. Let's just sit there. No, it's like there's God puts something in us that says, I want to take hold. I want more. I want to have the fullness of everything that God would have. You see, the Lord doesn't want us to settle for less in this season. He wants us to have everything that he has ordained, and it's always more than we could even ask or we could even think about. I don't know about you. I'm a big thinker. It's like, what do you mean it's more? I've like thought of some really big things. And God's saying, no, you haven't even begun to imagine. And so he's saying, I want you to stand tall. I want you to be in a mountain called doubly fruitful. He wants to give us that double portion. I mean, boy, we go through a lot of difficulties, and he's saying, you're not going to come up empty-handed at the end. If you would press in, if you would press through the difficulties, God's going to give us something that's going to be a reward, because the reward for those people who are pressing in for the double portion is to be doubly fruitful. But the point is that we would birth everything that the Lord reveals to us. Okay, let's go on. It says in 1 Samuel 1:2, it says, "And Elkanah had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." Okay, first off, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but throughout the scripture, there's a lot of interesting pairs. It's like people come in pairs. You've got Cain and Abel. You've got Abraham and Lot. You've got Sarah and Hagar. You've got Isaac and Ishmael. You've got Saul and you've got David. You have Ruth and you have Orpah. It's like all these stories are actually the same. I mean, if you look at them and you look at what's the core, it's like the detail of the scenario is different, but the core of it is always the same. That we as believers have a choice. We can do things by the Spirit, or we can do things by the flesh. We can have an Ishmael, or we can have an Isaac. We can, you know, offer that which God asks, or we can be like Cain and say, "I think I'll give you what I think I want to give you." You see, there's always these choices. There's Abraham, who's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And there's Lot, who goes like, "Man, that area of Sodom and Gomorrah, boy, that really is a good-looking place." You see, God is saying, "I want you to begin to perceive that there's two possibilities. I want you to see that that which I have for you is only going to be taken hold of by the Spirit." And so we see the same thing in the story of Hannah and Peninnah. Here we have this other pair. Well, interestingly enough, and I mean, this is how the scriptures are. They're so amazing. Because as we dive in, it's like the answer is right there. Hannah's name means grace. Peninnah's name means jewel. You see, it's only by grace, like Hannah, that we're going to be able to birth what God really wants to do in that season. Now, Peninnah looks good. She's having all the kids she would ever want. She looks like a jewel. You see, sometimes in the natural, we try to make things happen. But God says, no, if you're going to bring about what I want to do in this hour, it's not going to be my might. It's not going to be by power, but it's going to be by His Holy Spirit. It's going to be by His grace. I mean, that takes a lot of pressure off of us, doesn't it? It's like, well, I actually don't think I can do it anyway. I mean, if you think you can do what God has called you to, I would challenge you, go back and ask Him again. Because He's the one who calls us to those things that are impossible. He calls a fisherman who denied Him just days earlier to say, "You know what? I think I'll have you lead the church." You know, over and over again, God chooses the unlikely. And so here it's Hannah. Hannah is going to be chosen. Just the same way that Abraham had a very difficult time with Sarah birthing Isaac, but in a minute, you want Hagar? Oh, Ishmael's, she's pregnant right away. You see, when we do things in our flesh, it can bring quick results, but it's not what God has intended for our lives. It's not what He wants to do, but it has to be by the Holy Spirit. It has to be by grace. 1 Samuel 1:3, "This man, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh." Also, you know, it's interesting. When I read the scripture, I always kind of circle interesting words. It's like, well, that's nice. He's going up to worship. What do you mean also? Like, what's the also? Why do we have something else there? It says also, "The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there." Well, if you know the story, and we don't have time to go into it, Hophni and Phinehas were evil. You see, when God calls us to something, we're not called without opposition. It's not like, oh, yeah, okay, here's the call of God. You're called to lead the youth. Oh, that'll be easy. That'll just be smooth sailing, right? Oh, you should start a church. That's just a great job. It's just going to be easy, easy, easy. It's like, no. No, it's not, because Hophni and Phinehas are there too. There's always an also. There's always something that's there. Hophni, his name means fighter with fists, and Phinehas means mouth of brass. Brass always speaks of judgment, or the mouth of a serpent. Oh, this is great. I'm heading up to the, you know, mountain of God, but sitting there are the evil sons of Eli, fighter with fists, mouth of a serpent. But isn't that true? I mean, that's really spiritually speaking what we go through, that, you know, there is opposition to that which God would call us. There's always warfare over the purposes of God. Actually, Paul said the same thing. He said, you know, there's a great and effectual door that's open to me. But it doesn't end there. There's not a period at the end of that part of the sentence. He says, and there are many adversaries. That every time there's a door, there's going to be adversaries. We need to get that in our heads. We need to be the double height of the watchman. We need to be doubly fruitful. But if we're thinking that every time we do something, it's going to be easy, we are sadly mistaken. We need to understand, no, there's always an also. There's always an and in every story. And so how we fight, how we bring forth what God wants to birth is critical, because our weapons aren't carnal. It's like you can't fight these things. You know, if you try to fight it in the natural, it never works out. It's always in the spirit. But we need to know how to prevail against the enemy, against the destructive words that can feel like blows, against, you know, all sorts of things that can come our way. We need to know, well, how am I going to fight that? How am I going to prevail? And the answer is, and we're going to see it in this story, the answer is to be full of vision and to begin to speak it forth in prayer. And Hannah does exactly this. So let's take a look at this. In 1 Samuel 1:4, it says, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and, I mean, this is an interesting little phrase, and to all her sons and daughters. You see, many things can be birthed by that which looks right. And listen, God will use that too. He will, you know, no question about it. There's a whole bunch of things that have been done in the flesh, and God still can use it. But there is special delight, there is special power, there is special anointing that comes when it doesn't come from our own strength in the natural. So there's Peninnah, the jewel, the beauty one, who's got all these sons and all these daughters. And you know, in the scriptures, we have to understand the types and in samples. It was all about having kids. You know, the whole story of Abraham is really about, are you going to have the promised child? It goes on for decades. That, you know, was the whole story. Rebekah and Isaac, the whole beginning story. For decades they went and were unable to have a child. The story with Rachel, she couldn't have children until she had Joseph. And so, you know, this is the story of the scripture. It's a type to us that which God wants to birth through you is powerful, is destiny, is what God has ordained from the beginning. Just even as the book of Jeremiah says, look, I formed you from the womb to bring forth something special. In Jeremiah's case, he was called to be a prophet. But you see, each one of us, God has perfectly formed us to bring forth that which he wants, but we have to be careful to do it according to the way that the Lord would have. And so there's Peninnah with a ton of children. Everything is looking good. 1 Samuel 1:5. But to Hannah, who had no kids, Elkanah gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. So again, let's understand this in the spirit. Hannah's name means grace. The Father loves to do things by grace. He loves to do the supernatural. He loves to bring forth that which would be impossible. It's, you know, Jesus gives, you know, it says that he gives all of the gifts through the Holy Spirit severally as he will. They're all supernatural. It's not like you can say, you know what? I think I'll pray for the sick and see them recover. You know, it's like, that's not actually up to us. It's that God graces us with an ability to pray for the sick and see them recover. He graces us with an ability to do the things that he's called us to, things that you would never think you were able to do. I can't tell you how many times I hear people and their testimonies and they say, well, I actually told the Lord I would never do this. And of course, that's what they end up doing, right? Because God loves that. He loves to get the glory. If you were already on track, you know, it's like, well, that's nice. But he loves to take the foolish things to confound the wise. He loves to take the simple and say, you know what? I can use that vessel because they're given to me. One of my favorite stories, the Lord really spoke to me out of this story a few years ago. I knew he was talking to me. And it was the story out of Luke chapter 19 where Jesus told his disciples, go get that donkey. Yeah. And, you know, it was the donkey that was going to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. Yeah. And I knew what God was saying was, you know, that's all I'm asking for you. I want you to be a donkey. I just want you to carry me. It's like, you're not carrying yourself. There's nothing I can do. But what I can do is be a willing vessel to carry the Lord. And so here we have, it says, but to Hannah he'd give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although, look at this, the Lord had closed her womb. It wasn't the devil. It was the Lord. Because the Lord takes great pleasure in birthing those things by grace that would be impossible, so that there would be no doubt that this thing happened by God. It's really the key to the double portion is understanding this is going to be by grace. And the difficulty that we experience is not to be a sign to give up. The fact that Hannah's womb was closed by the Lord was not the end of the story. It was really the beginning of the story. It was Hannah, so what are you going to do now? What will happen? And verse 6, it says, and Hannah's rival, Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make Hannah miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. You see, there is a certain type of misery that comes when God has placed a burden within you to bring something forth in the spirit. You know, there's many times that there's a time lag. There can be a long season. There can be people who don't see it. They, oh no, you know, I don't think so. That'll never work. That'll never happen. But God wants, he's like doling out the double portion to Hannah. It's like, no, I believe in you. And I believe the Spirit of God is saying, I believe in the call of God that he's placed within each one, that he's giving you everything that you need. But we need to be like Hannah. And that's the beauty of this story, that we can see. And there is a certain type of mockery. There is, you know, this is what Peninnah was doing. The fact that she kept having kids. The fact that everything looked easy. You know, we've got to get our eyes off of everybody else and say, Lord, what is it that you're asking me to do? What do you want me to do? Even if it is impossible, if we know that it's from the Lord, he's going to enable us to do it. Verse 7, so it was year by year. I mean, this thing didn't happen quickly. When Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, that Peninnah provoked Hannah. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. It's so interesting. You know, I think of the scripture in Psalm 126 where it says that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he who continually goes forth weeping. Not just, oh, I had one good cry one day. No, it's like that which God wants to do, oh, there's going to be a whole bunch of weeping. There's going to be a whole bunch of pressing forward in it. And it says, you know, he who goes forth continually weeping shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, it's going to come to pass. But the seeds that we're sowing when we're weeping are the seeds of our prayers. That there, God hears them. It's in the process. And so what do we see? It says that Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You see, it's so powerful when God graces us with a burden, with a why. Why do we do what we do? You know, why? It's the vision that God gives us. It's essential to have a kingdom why. Jesus had one. He said in John chapter 4, he said, my food, you know, the thing that makes me tick, the why of my life, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. It's like he was very clear on what he was supposed to do. And in fact, when he was 12 years old and he was missing from his parents and they finally found him again 3 days later in the temple talking to all the rabbis, and they said, Jesus, what in the world are you doing? Like, didn't you know we'd be like really upset? And he said, well, didn't you know that I need to be about the Father's business? Oh, God is coming even in this hour, and he's blowing upon us afresh that we would be people with a why. That we would be people who are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That we'd not be up one day and down the next day. But when God tells us, this is what I've called you to, we would hold on to it. And we would say, this is my kingdom why. And I'm not going to give up on it. I'm not, you know, if he has called us, we are going to do that. And so Hannah did that. She was there every year. There she was again. There was she was weeping. There she was not eating. And so he said, why are you doing this? What is it? And so Hannah knew what she was being called to. In fact, Elkanah said to her, aren't I better than 10 sons for you? But it says in 1 Samuel 1:9, it says, so Hannah arose. And it says, now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. It's time to arise. I love that Hannah arose. It's like she was still in it. It's like, yeah, she's had a whole bunch of kids, but I still have something to birth. There's still something that God wants to do through my life. And it says in verse 10, and Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Look, let's not be deceived. What God asks us to bring forth, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be all of those things. I think about the prophet Jeremiah. Okay, again, he gets this powerful prophetic word about, I formed you in the womb. You're called to be a prophet. You're to go to the nations. He had nothing but misery for pretty much most of his life. He would prophesy accurately from the Lord, and then there'd be false prophets who would prophesy, and people chose to believe what they believed. His family wasn't happy with what he was doing. He ended up in jail. He was like in prison. It was like, this thing isn't going great. But Jeremiah never stopped. It was like, no, I know what God has called me to do. Nothing about it was easy, but he didn't give up. But I love what he ends up saying in Jeremiah 9, verse 1. He says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You see, it's not easy to birth what God purposes within us. It's most likely, maybe always, going to involve a lot of tears. We need to be people who aren't hindered by that, who aren't hindered by, well, let me take a vote. How many people think I should do this? It's like, no, that's not how we do it. It's like people won't necessarily understand what it is. But in verse 11, it says, then Hannah made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come on his head. And that's actually referencing a Nazarite vow, like Samson had, like John the Baptist had. She was saying, this child is going to be set apart for your glory. I'm not asking this, Lord, for myself. I'm saying, I want to birth this thing because you've placed it in my heart. And what I birth, what you've placed there, it's going to be set aside for your glory. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli the high priest, the dad of Hophni and Phinehas, therefore Eli thought she was drunk. You see, Hannah's words were powerful words, praying to the Lord, even though Eli didn't understand what in the world was going on. It does remind me of the day of Pentecost. When all the Holy Spirit was moving, there were people who said, what, is everybody drunk? Like, they didn't understand what was happening. But all kingdom purposes must be first birthed in prayer. That is how the Lord does it. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, when you look at that whole story, I mean, again, God could have done anything, but he goes to Mary, has the angel declare, you're going to have a child. Like, whoa, that's impossible. That can't possibly happen. But what did Mary say? She prayed, and she said some powerful words. Oh, that these would be our words in this hour. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Yeah. You see, we need the word of God, and we need to couple it with prayer, because those two things together, God is going to be able to get a hold of us in ways that he never has before. And we would be a people who would say, Lord, do all that you would desire. Do all that you have spoken. Do all that the word declares. One does not work without the other. They come in tandem. Verse 14 of 1 Samuel 1, it says, so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. Look, many people might be confused when they see someone who's operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, if I could, I'd come and bring another word about the concept of fear. We have to stop being afraid of what other people are thinking. Because when God moves, it's all unusual all the time. You know, Ezekiel looked pretty crazy lying on his side. Elijah was quite unusual. How about, okay, let's move into the New Testament. John the Baptist. He was a crazy kind of guy. I mean, wearing unusual clothes. You see, when God calls us to something, it's not time to say, is everybody seeing the same thing? Now, I'm not saying you don't get confirmation from your pastors. Of course you do. You know, you have wisdom from others. But I am saying you can't just do these things based on what your secular friends think, or what, you know, oh, you need to do this and this. Everybody will tell you what you need to do, but we need to have ears to hear what it is that God wants to do in our lives. And many people can be confused. Like I said, even on the day of Pentecost. But Peter got up and he said, no, what you're seeing is not what you're thinking. And he begins to explain it. 1 Samuel 1:15, it says, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. You see, that's how it is when we birth something in prayer, that which God causes us to conceive of him, that we keep going to him and saying, Lord, you're going to do it. Lord, you're going to bring revival in this place, in this house. Lord, you're going to bring revival in the youth. Lord, you're going to turn hearts around. Lord, you're going to make a healing and signs and wonders. Lord, these things are going to happen. What happens when we don't see it today? Well, we don't give up. We continue to pray. We continue to believe. We continue to press in. It is a pouring out of our soul. Verse 16, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I've spoken until now. You see, there always has to be an until in our spirit. I think one of the greatest obstacles to believers today is giving up, is not persevering, is saying, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, if you're still alive, it's not over. If God has placed it, it's still going to, I mean, how did Abraham feel? He's like 100 years old. Yeah. He's really old. But it's like, no, this is what God has said. And so we can't give up. We've got to be those who persevere, and we persevere in prayer. And so we've got that until in our spirit. And then in verse 17, then Eli answered and said, it's like as soon as he saw she had an until, he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. Again, it's like the day of Pentecost. When Peter did stand up and explain everything, you know, he goes, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he explains the whole thing. And he says, yeah, I know this thing looks kind of crazy. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. People are speaking in all sorts of languages. You know, who knows what people were doing? But the Holy Spirit was moving. And he said, no, this is actually what God said in the book of Joel. You're seeing it manifested. You see, I believe when we stand firm, when we begin to say, no, this is what God is going to do, that we not be a people who turn back. It's just like James says, that we can't be those who are double-minded. We can't put our hands to the plow and look back. We can't be those who are like, one day, yeah, we're going to join, we're going to do this, we're right there. It's like, let our yay be yay and our nay be nay. Let's not give up. Let's keep pressing forward. You know, I believe in the Spirit that the breakthrough is right there. And if we could see it, I mean, when do Hophni and Phinehas rise up most likely? When does the enemy rise up in our lives? I believe that there is spiritual vision even on the enemy's side, and he sees right when we're at the door of breakthrough. And it's like, all hands on deck, let's get them discouraged. You know, when you wake up discouraged, can I tell you what to do? Say, thank God. Breakthrough is on its way. That's why I feel discouraged. Because the enemy doesn't want me to see this day and take hold of that which is right here. And so he has just great breakthroughs for all of us, just as he had a great breakthrough for Hannah. She was destined to have a tremendous son. Yeah. Verse 18, and Hannah said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Wow. She's not pregnant yet. She hasn't had the baby, But God did something in her prayer. She had an until in her spirit, and she felt in the spirit that breakthrough had come, and she said, done is done, and I'm now here. I'm going to see it with my own eyes. You see, birthing something in the spirit is accomplished. Well, it's birthing something is accomplished first in the spirit before we see it actually manifested before people. And Hannah knew it. She knew it. This thing is going to happen. I just know it. Verse 19, then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. I mean, they'd been going year after year after year after year after year. Peninnah kept having children. I mean, this had gone on for a long time because she had sons and she had daughters. And Hannah had nothing. And year after year, Hannah would just press in, cry, nope, I want this. She still gets the double portion. Nope, God still has something for me. But now she goes, they go to the house, just like they had every year. And it says, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Because it had already been birthed in the spirit. Verse 20, and it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived, and she bore a son and called his name Samuel. Samuel's name means asked of God. She said, she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. What a beautiful verse. I like, you know, just breaking this verse down. It says, it came to pass. I want you to know that the dreams that God has birthed within you are there for them to come to pass. They're not there to torment you. They're not there as some kind of fantasy. I mean, we always need to discern, is that a dream from God or is that a fantasy? Let's get rid of the fantasies. But when it's a dream from God, when he's birthed it within us in the spirit, we need to press in and see it come to pass. So it says it came to pass, then it says, in the process of time, like let's not forget there's a process of time that's often involved, just like Galatians 6:9 says, don't get weary. Don't feel like, you know, you should give up, because it says in due season you will reap if you don't lose heart. And it says, okay, it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived, Grace conceived. God's going to do it. He's going to do it in his power. He's going to do it in his time. And it says, and she bore a son, and she named him Samuel, asked of God. God, I cried out to you. I asked for this, and here it is. There will be a manifestation of that which we pray. When we pray in the Lord, when we pray those things that he wants to bring forth. You know, one of the best ways to pray is with the scriptures. Because we know this is the will of God. And we can begin to declare those things. You know, when the Lord says, I'm going to save you and all your household, you can begin to pray over your unsaved loved ones and say, Lord, you say that you are going to save me and my household. And you begin to lift them up. And you're going to see it. And I know I've shared probably this testimony before, but none of my family was saved. I got saved. Decades passed. Both my mom and my dad got saved on the last day of their lives. It's like, no, you're going to stand until you see it. You're going to believe it until it happens. That, yes, there's a process of time, but we're going to see it. So you can take hold of the scriptures. If some are sick, you can begin to pray the healing scriptures. You see, God wants us to take hold of things and not give up, not allow Hophni and Phinehas to hit us and give us, you know, the mouth of a serpent, like that'll never happen. Oh, yes, it will. We would begin to stand up, the double height of the watchman, begin to be those in this house who begin to declare all the prophetic promises that God wants to do in this house. If there would be a people who would rise up in this place and begin to declare the purposes of God, I promise you, you will see them come forth. But will there be obstacles? Oh, yes. will there be difficulties? But when God has a people who are watchmen, who begin to stand up and say, no, we're taking that land. That land is ours. We're going to fight over this in the spirit. We're going to see it come forth. You see, God, I believe, is asking us if we're ready to press in by the Spirit, if we would allow ourselves to conceive his desires in our lives. Are we ready to weep over it? Are we ready to go through a process of time? Are we ready to have an until in our spirit? Are we even willing to be mocked? Are we willing to say, you know, sometimes or always, when we want to birth what God wants to birth, it comes slowly, or it doesn't come instantly. And are we willing? Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to do it by grace? Are we willing to say, I want to be a Hannah? I want to birth that which is asked by God, because there's Samuels to be birthed in your lives, in this house, in every single one of us. 1 Samuel 1:21, it says, now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice in his vow. But Hannah, I mean, this is an interesting verse, verse 22, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. You see, when you've birthed something in the spirit, you're not done yet. It's birth, but you need to see that come to its full fruition. What a tremendous miracle the building for this house is. But I want you to know, you're not done yet. Who knows how many steps there'll be? Who knows what God wants to do? But I want you to know, he wants revival. He wants growth. He wants there to be just a place for people to come. It's like, no, we're still going to pray. It's like, okay, well, the building's there. You know, no, now we're going to fix it up. Or now we're going to do this. Or now we're going to do that. We're going to invite people to come. Because what good is a building if you don't invite people to come? It's all of these things. Every single thing that we birth, we have to begin to say, and I'm going to not abandon it once it's birthed. We're going to watch over the things that God is birthing, and we're going to watch over them fervently in prayer and feed them. I love it. She said, no, I'm not going to bring Samuel until he's weaned. She's saying, I'm going to feed him until he's big enough that he's going to be able to stand, because it must be lasting. What God wants to do in your life is not just one and done, but it's lasting. Verse 23, so Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. You see, when we're people of his word, when we establish his word, when we establish his promises in this hour, we can allow our Samuels to grow. Verse 24, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. There was great joy, great thanksgiving. Here he is, the one I prayed for. Verse 25, then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And Hannah said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. In other words, she was saying, here's the proof, Eli. Here's the proof that God answers prayers. Here is the one. You see, there's going to be proof that God answers your prayers. He's asking us even to believe for that which might seem impossible, but that we would be a people of faith, that there will be fruit that others will eventually see, that we wouldn't stop until we're finished birthing and then finished making sure that the nurturing has been done. And actually, if you read on in the story, it's a beautiful story about Samuel. You know, Samuel changed a nation. Samuel was the key between the kings and the judges. Samuel was the one who anointed King David. You see, that which we birth may look small at the beginning, but has the ability to impact the earth. And so God wants us to be those who would say, yes, I'll birth it, I'll pray for it, I'll birth it, I'll nurture it. And then as you read the story, every year Hannah would give Samuel, when he was up living with Eli, she would give him a larger coat. And I love that. It's that, no, there will be growth. This thing will grow. We're going to stand by it, for that is what God calls us to, that we wouldn't stop until we see this. Verse 27, Hannah says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him." Therefore, verse 28, the last verse, "Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Whatever we birth, it belongs to the Lord. Amen. It's not us. It's not for our glory. It's for God's glory. That we would all press in to know, what is it, Lord, that you want to birth? What is it that you want? You may already know, but maybe you don't know yet at this point. God wants to give you a burden, a why of what you do, that we would conceive by his grace and bring forth everything that he would have for us. Let's be the double height of the watchman in this hour. Let's stand tall. Let's not give up. Let's be people. Let that be the testimony of this house. Wow, there's a people who never gave up. There's a people who kept pressing forward. There was a people who had a strength in their spirit that would not be stopped, but that would say, we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We will see the land taken for him. And let's never hold tightly to it, but let's give it right back to the Lord. Let's do it by grace. Lord Jesus, I pray for every single one here, Lord God. Lord, that each one of us would conceive, Lord, that which you want to do through us, oh God. Lord, we're all different from one another, but together we stand together, the double height of the watchman. Lord, I pray that there would be a perseverance, that there would be a strength that would arise, Lord, for the purposes that are in this house will stand. And so, Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that you would give us vision, every single one of us, Lord, that we would be those who would take hold of all that you have in this hour. Lord, bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.